And we're going to start with verse 28. John 6:28. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Then they said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee that thou, what doest, dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto all the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word that we still have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to read it, to memorize it, to love it, to preach it, teach it, talk about it. Give me freedom and ease to open your word to the minds of those that listen here today and those that are listening on the TV somehow. We just pray that your blessing would be upon this meeting. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 28, this is what all the religions, churches all over the country, are trying to teach their people today. He said, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Notice plural, works. Churches all over are teaching their people that they need to do certain works. Some of them to be saved. Some people say you have to be baptized to be saved. Some people think that you have to give sacrifices. I watched people in Mexico and Guatemala walk on their knees or walk barefooted on the sides of the road to go do a sacrifice or something, trying to get favor from God. And that's what a lot of the churches are thinking about. What are the favorable things that we can do? What are the works that we can do? And it's plural. And you want to do the works of God? It's plural. No, you really don't. He said, this is the work of God that you believe. Yep. Now, remember, I told you, chapter 6 has to be interpreted spiritually. Jesus, throughout his ministry, used natural things, planting and seeds growing and sowing seed and stuff like that, that they knew anything about to teach spiritual things. And chapter 6 of John must be interpreted spiritually. So, what do you want to do? You want to do the work of God? You want to do the pleasing God? He said, believe. Now, I don't think of believing as a work. I imagine none of you do either. Just believe. And yet what he's saying here is, you really want to do what God wants you to do? You want to do what will please God? Believe. And what are you believing? You're believing in Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual thing. We're talking about the natural body and natural growth, and we're talking about the spiritual body and spiritual growth. And if you see it, it's beautiful. But this is a chapter where the things that Jesus was teaching offended many of his followers, and they didn't follow him so close anymore. Some of them went back home. They said, no, we can't handle this. We'll get to a little bit more of it later. But this is the work of God. You want to do what God wants you to do? Believe his word. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe that Christ died for your sins. Believe that he rose from the dead. Believe that he's alive right now. And he's spiritually alive. And he's going to make you spiritually alive to live with him forever. Amen. How about just taking this old book and believing it? Amen. It's not all that complicated if you just believe. Now, they said unto him, Therefore, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee that thou dost work? Now, as far as I can understand, almost every day of Jesus' ministry, he's healing somebody. Somebody's going to come up and they say, I've got this bad disease, or they're going to bring a child up right there. Over and over and over again, he has healed. He's given sight to the blind. In fact, he stopped funeral processions. He's made them come back to life again. What more signs do they need? Well, it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeks after a sign. You have to have a sign, all these signs. He said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, he said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And okay, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Well, we know what Jonas is. He died and resurrected again as far as he's concerned. He was swallowed by a whale, spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. He spit out. I don't think he ever went back to the Jewish land. I think he stayed where he went, and all the great revival came. Recently, with this ISIS, what we're fighting here last year or two, the ISIS came over there in that country where he preached this great revival, and there was a funeral playing thing like we have for George Washington or we have for General Grant or whatever. They've got a place at their funeral, a cemetery, and they had one for Jonah. Not up in Israel someplace, but down there where he went down preaching, got that great revival. ISIS destroyed it. It lasted all these years. Can you imagine? And they didn't like it because it was a testimony that the Bible was true and that the story of Jonah would be true. And a lot of people have attacked the story of Jonah anyway. What sign showest thou that we may believe thee? Well, they got their sign. But they had to get it, after he died, after they'd crucified him on the cross of Calvary, buried him, put a bunch of soldiers out there protecting his gravesite. All of a sudden, the soldiers didn't know how to answer. He's gone. So they had to make up lies and whatever. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead after being crucified on the cross of Calvary? Do you believe he did it in your place? I mean, he's the substitute. He's the test. He's the example. What happened to him is going to happen to us. That's the hope. There's a whole lot of hope in this Bible. We're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're eaten half by a shark and the rest of you rots away. God can put it together again. And we even know something about it in our science. DNA. I remember when it came out, I think it was in Reader's Digest, and it had a 40 or 50 page article on DNA. Wow, it was shocking. But I believe it. I believe you could take one little cell out of my body and create another one just exactly like me because it's got the DNA in it. You think God doesn't know that? God knows it. God knows it. God created it. How do you think they discovered it? How long did people go when they had to burn wood to cook their meals? Well, John D. Rockefeller got absolutely rich by selling kerosene lamps, kerosene stoves. And he really didn't like it when electricity came along because it was going to put him out of business, he thought. But you know, he had a byproduct out of all these oil wells, and he kept just throwing it away, throwing it away, throwing it away. It's called gasoline. That's exactly what happened. Gasoline made him richer than he ever was before with the kerosene. And he'd been throwing it away because he didn't know what to do with it. Well, somebody got the engine that burns gasoline And in the factories, it just transformed the factories. And then Henry Ford got it into a car that people could afford. And gasoline was off and running. Teddy Roosevelt goes after Rockefeller. Chases him. Rockefeller goes out of the country for different, I don't know how many years it took him to get him. But he finally came back into the country. He had a big family and he was a Baptist. He's a very strong man. They took it all away from him. Left him Standard Oil, which was his oil. Divided it up, but they had to give him stock. And his son said later on, Daddy made more money with less work after they took it away from him than he ever did when he was controlling the whole thing. You know something? You might learn something that'll help you out. You just might, if you read this book and decided, I'm going to believe this book, it just might bring some comfort to your heart. Okay, so you got cancer. You're not going to have it forever because sooner or later you're going to die and get a new body. It's a promise. Jesus, we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. I like that. I like being 33 and a half years old, not 20 and not 84, but 33 and a half. Oh, that sounds pretty good to me. I was some kind of a man at 33 and a half. I could work all day and drive all night. You could too. Thank the Lord for these things. All right, you got a sign now. What's the sign? The resurrection from the dead. 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Resurrection from the dead. Now, they said unto him, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread to eat, from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Okay, you thinking spiritual, you thinking physical? If you're thinking physical, well, I had cornbread and milk for breakfast this morning. Now, you probably don't even like cornbread. I was raised on cornbread. Man, not this fluffy cake style. The old hard cornbread. I love it. Well, I had that milk for breakfast this morning, along with a few slices of bacon. Okay. The true bread. The true bread. What is the true bread of the spiritual life? That's what you need. Now, bread, again, what we're looking at, bread, and it speaks of almost anything that we eat. We take it, crumble it up, fill a glass full of milk, take a spoon, take a couple of things and just eat and enjoy. And it tastes good. We like it. You like some things that other people don't like, and I like some things that you probably wouldn't like. But it does the same thing. Even if I took something I didn't like, it would go into my stomach. And somehow, magically, it will transform into something that can get into your blood. And it can go everywhere, all the way to your brain, all the way down to the tips of your fingers, all the way down to your toes. Isn't that something? You are a miracle. You are a wonderful machine. A flesh machine that lives by food. And that food gets into you and goes into every part of you and blesses you, and you have life. Let me tell you what. Quit eating, you won't have life. Is that right? And you got to eat what God meant for you to eat. You can't eat rocks and live. You can't eat dirt and live. You got to put things in the dirt. Isn't that I used to say, I had a saying that I shouldn't probably say, but dumb as dirt. Dirt is wonderful. Hey, can you imagine all the things we get from dirt? And your flesh, what's it going to go back to? If we would, well, the way we bury them today, you know, we put all this preservative juice within them, the bodies. And then we put it in a casket, and that casket goes into a metal thing, and that metal thing goes into a cement thing, and you don't ever get the dirt. Old people, when they used to be buried, everything went back to dirt. I remember one time my cousins and I were on the river, and we were down there fishing and throwing rocks and whatever, and we had about a 20-foot height of dirt that came back from the gravel bar of the window of the river. And right there was a hole, and it was a man's skeleton. It was about 6 feet down in this 20-foot thing, and so we dug about it a little bit. Grave robbers. We was 11 and 12 or something like that. But that was really a fascinating thing to me, that right there on my dad's farm, right there down by the river where I swam all the time, and we fished and we hunted, we shot guns and stuff like that, just free. And here's a body. I didn't know whether it was an Indian or whether it was a settler or who it might have been. But everything had gone to dirt but his skull and his bones and whatever. That dirt is fantastic stuff. Well, now, because we live by what the dirt produces, Jesus said, the Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. If we live in these physical bodies by the food that we eat that comes out of the dirt of the ground, then what is he talking here? We're talking about Jesus being crucified on the cross of Calvary, and we living by that spiritually. That's a wonderful thing. Now we've changed the realm that we're walking in. We're not walking on the earth anymore. We're not eating food from the dirt anymore. This is a spiritual life and a spiritual body, and you need spiritual food. And who is that spiritual food? Jesus. You know, if you want to live spiritually, you need to read his word, because it's spirit. Yes, it is. Well, I know it's on pages, and you can read them, and it's a wonderful book, really is. But you know something? You need a spirit to feed your spirit. And who is that spirit? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with him. He lives inside of us. He connects us to God. We know because that name, God says, you quote that name, Jesus Christ, to me, wow, you get your prayers answered. You get your life changed. You know what I did to get my life changed? I called on Jesus. Now, I don't know how much good preaching I heard. I'm not sure about all the things that I believed or didn't believe at the time when I got saved. I just knew I was a sinner, and I was scared to die. I was in the military. I was 20 years old. Had one child and one on the way. One of my buddies had died, 20 years old, on my truck and my run. I was a refueling man. And I might have made the same mistake as him, and I thought about that, I could be dead. Now, some of you young people don't think young people can die, but they can. Young people die. Not everybody lives to be 84. Not everybody lives to be 103. Surely they don't get up to Adam 930. Man, I wonder what he looked like at 60. I bet he looked better than you looked at 22. Hey, he had a body, boy. He had one made by God special. Fellas, have you ever thought about what Eve looked like? Wow. Wow. No imperfections. There wasn't a wart in the wrong place. Wow, I tell you what. Well, we've both come a long way, haven't we? Men and women. Anyway, all right. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he. This is a real problem for some of these people listening to him. What it looks like is that we're going to eat his flesh, and that's what he's telling you. It's like cannibalism. That's not what he means at all. He means you live a spiritual life by having the life of Christ spiritually in you, connected to you. Do you understand life? I don't understand life. I don't know how it's created. I don't know a lot of things about it, but I love it. You know what? I have fun because I'm alive. I'm not sure that the fellas out at the graveyard are having that much fun. But I'm having fun. I'm eating what I want to eat. I'm sleeping when I want to sleep. I'm driving my car when I want to drive my car. And those are all good things I can do because I got a body and I'm alive. Well, there is a spiritual life, and it's the kind of spirit that God is. God is a spirit. God isn't like you or me. We're made in his image, but he is a spiritual being. He can be there and here instantaneous. He can hear all of your prayers at one time and know each one individually, no problem at all. He doesn't even need an accountant to keep track of your sins. They're all there. Do you believe in him? Well, you ought to. And let me tell you something else. You can't fool God because he's everywhere. How can he be everywhere? I don't know. I can't explain that, but he is. If he's God, he's everywhere. If he's God, he's all powerful. How can you fight against God? Have you ever thought about that? If there be a God, I believe there is. I don't believe we could have all that we have out of an explosion and two stars going together. Don't believe that at all. That takes more faith than believing every word in the Bible. God is all powerful, is all wise. He takes the wise in their craftiness. Wow. You want to stand up against God? I've done some debating in my life. I'm not a very good debater, I don't think. I don't think I'm a very good writer. Not good, too good in many things. But you know what? I believe God. I believe he's smarter than me. I believe that if any argument, any fight we get into, he's going to win. And so it's absolutely foolishness once I know what he wants not to give it to him. It'd help your life out a whole lot if you'd understand that. You don't win fighting against God. God's will is better for you than any other will you can get. You may think you know what you want. I hear now, you go to high school and they tell you about the 11th grade. What do you want? What kind of career do you want to have? Because we're going to just train you in that direction. What kid in the 11th grade knows what kind of career is going to have? When you were in 11th grade, did you believe you'd be doing what you're doing now? You, not all, me a preacher? I knocked on Bonnie Baldwin's door. I hadn't seen her since school. I was out of the Air Force and out of college. And she happened just to live in a neighborhood where I was pastoring. I was the new pastor down at Midway Baptist Church. And so I knocked on her door and she's, Lyndall? Her name was Bonnie Brinker when she was growing up. But she said, Lyndall, how did you get my house? I said, Bonnie, I didn't know you were here. You were just one of the doors that I was coming down. I knocked on every door, left tracks and invitations at every door. He said, well, what are you doing knocking on doors? I said, I'm the new Baptist preacher down here. What? She didn't believe it. There were some others that wouldn't believe it either. But when I got saved, God changed my life. Quit smoking, drinking, gambling, and cussing in one day. Now, the cuss words are still in my head, understand me. They don't generally get out of my mouth at all. But I know what they are. And sometimes when I'm really mad, I really have to hold them back. You're just the same. You're the same. Don't be sitting there smart aleck like, that's not me. Yeah, it's you. I know it's you. The true bread. Now here in verse 33 and 4 and 5, this blew the people away. For the bread of God is he, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I know that 64 years ago, God gave me eternal life. Man, I didn't understand it. I knew I was changed. I knew I was changed. I didn't understand all the changes that had taken place in me, but in a moment, I was spiritually alive, and a lot of the things that I thought and did in my old body, I was ashamed of. And man, I tell you what, some of those things are hard to get rid of. They really are. For the bread of God is he which... Pardon me. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. As much as you like your physical life, how much greater is God's spiritual life? Pleasures forevermore are at his right hand. Why would you turn down an invitation from God to be saved? Why, of all things, would you deny a gift of eternal life? Wow. Many men, if they knew it, they would pay fortunes to get it. But you can't buy it. It's free. Amen. It came at the request and the service and the life of Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary in your place. He died for you, that you might live with him. Well, that's something. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, giveth life unto the world. Then said he unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am, here's your first I am in John. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, I believe some of God's faithful children have hungered and thirsted and died of such things. But spiritually speaking, remember, we're looking at your spirit. Spiritually speaking, he's always there for you. How could some of these Christians, have you ever read something like Fox's Book of Martyrs? How could people stand up to something like that? Because they had a spiritual life that was stronger than their physical life. Because they had a connection with God that was absolutely so close that God was sustaining them in the time that it was happening. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. But I said unto you, you've seen me and believe not. Now look at verse 37. All. The Bible isn't really hard to understand. It's hard to believe. It's not hard to understand. It's written in one and two syllable words, mostly. Eighth grade English, maybe. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Wow, what a statement. You realize God went out seeking you. Realize God knocked on your door. Knocked on your heart's door. Yes. I knew something was happening that was different. That preacher had to have been talking to my wife to know as much about me as he did when he preached that sermon. No. God Almighty was fingering me. That preacher had never met my wife. And my wife wasn't a talkative one, so she probably wouldn't have told him anything anyway. All. You wonder about eternal security? That says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Wow. Isn't that something? I'll tell you, I love John, I love Romans because of how clearly they make salvation. And I think they ought to be taught in the church every 5 years at least. Because the people that are 5 become 10, and the people that are 10 become 15, and 15 become 20. And a lot of people, including myself, were church members before they ever got saved. And the Bible is so clear here. Yes. Amen. I will raise him up at the last day, verse 40 says. I won't lose him. Now there are an awful lot of Christians that believe they're working and that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. That is a common thought. Not true. There's going to be a lot of bad people that got saved and went to heaven. And in fact, all of you are bad. I know I'm insulting you. You're not as bad as the drunk that lives next door. You're not as bad as that kid you go to school with. I understand all that. You can brag on yourself that way if you want to. But I'll tell you what, you just take the two commands of God. Love God supremely. All my heart, all my mind, all my soul. When did you ever do that? Then you're guilty. Love my neighbor as myself. I've got a nice old car out there. It's an old car, but it doesn't have many miles. I bought a 2008 that had less than 24,000 miles. Been sitting in the garage most of the time. Wow. Let me tell you something. I got a body right here that's worn out. Yeah, it's worn out. Gonna disappear one of these days. Be promoted up to glory and get a new body. No more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Everyone, verse 40, which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Why? How many ways does eternal security have to be taught to you on one page? Good night. This is beautiful. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. See, they're still taking it too physically. They're not understanding spiritual life as being different from physical life. You have within you a spiritual being that can relate to God. And you are living in a body that relates to this earth. So you're an unusual thing. Made in the image of God. Wow. Everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I'm the bread that you've got to eat. You want spiritual life? You got to eat the bread of spiritual life. What is the bread? Jesus says, I am. One of those great statements. I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father, mother, we know? How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You need an invitation from God. But it'll be a spiritual invitation. While one of his preachers or one of his servants or one of his sons or daughters is giving you a physical speech, talking to you in the physical language that you understand. God is behind the scenes and moving to touch your heart and life. Wonderful. No, look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Verse 45, as it is written in the prophets, that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now, is that another clue? It says hath. That means has. Right now. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Right now. You don't lose it. You just lose this outer shell. You just lose this dirt compacted, girt grown life. And you walk away in the spirit with a spiritual mind and a spiritual body that's connected to God. It's not really that difficult a chapter. It is unless you look at things spiritually. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. There's a verse in John 5:44, which Jesus is talking to some of the critics. And he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. I know if you're a kid in school, you want to be accepted. I know that at your work, you want to be accepted. I know that in your family, you want to be accepted. You want to be received. None of us wants to be pointed out and criticized and picked on and name calling and stuff like that. None of us. And yet, if we receive honor one of another, me and you, I live my life so I'm honored by you. You live your life so I'm thinking you're honorable. How does it come out then that we could ever please God? A lot of things I've done in the last 64 years, I've been criticized. I've been lied on. Man, I've had lots of things happen. Slander of different sorts. Even slandered my wife. And she was not a person that pushed herself on anybody. You know something? If you stand up for God, it's going to put you crossways with some people around you. All you got to do is say the name of Jesus. Oh, is that the only name that you can come in? That's right. That's what Jesus said. He said it right here. He says it over and over again. John is an eyewitness to it. He's copying down, writing down what he said, he heard, and saw. Eyewitness testimony. And he went to his death proclaiming Jesus rose from the dead and was the Son of God and could give eternal life. And then I think the first Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those Gospels were written about the same time. And I think John had read them. Because when you read the Gospel of John, it's a little different. And he tells you at the back of the book why he did it. He said, many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. Why? That you'd believe he was the Christ, the Son of God, and have life through his name. It's the name of Jesus. It's not Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the greatest name. It's the highest name. And what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary purchased for you his perfection. He takes your place. In the courts of heaven, on those books that the judge himself will look at. He's going to look and say, what kind of life is this that we've got before me? And you look at it and it's Jesus Christ. But that's me. That's you. You don't compare to Jesus. Not any of you. Not the best of us. And yet I walk into the courts of glory, a son of God, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's some of the best things I could ever say to you. And if you don't have Christ already as your Savior, man, get on your knees and run to Him confessing your sin. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't do the works of God and get your soul saved or get your sins forgiven. Only Christ can do that. And what you need to do is recognize yourself as a sinner. Confess yourself a sinner. Ask God to forgive you as a sinner. And believe that Jesus Christ died in your place. Wow. That's good news. Well, God bless you.